Lord, open our lips, and our mouths will declare your praise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The scripture for today is Philippians 2, verses 1 through 13. Let's prepare our hearts to hear from God's word as we listen to You Hold It All by John Guerra and Leslie Jordan. A musing song in triple time, it features soft harmonies and acoustic instruments. The descending melodic lines suggest a tribute manifested in many ways, bringing one's work, releasing one's worries, and entrusting one's future to the Lord who is sovereign over all things.
Bring you the work of our hands now. Lay it down, lay it at your feet. What we've done, what we've built, what we've broken. Lay it down, lay it at your feet. You hold it all, Jesus, you hold.
Philippians 2, verses 1 through 13. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. One of the most astounding things that this text gives us is an inside look at the mind of Christ. And what is it that we find when we look closely there? Humility. We are told to have this mind among ourselves, which is ours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. But it didn't stop there. No, being found in human form, he humbled himself even further, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Humility is, and I think always has been, an underappreciated virtue. Humans have always had a tendency towards self-promotion. Around the time that Paul was writing this letter, there's a Greek philosopher named Epictetus who listed meekness or humility as first in a list of vices. Jean-Jacques Rousseau once said, "I rejoice in myself. My consolations lie in my self-esteem. If there were a single enlightened government in Europe, it would have erected statues to me." Oscar Wilde, who, when asked as he went through customs if he had anything to declare, answered, "Only my genius." And today's celebrities are constantly engaged in shameless self-promotion. So this may be our natural tendency, but it's destructive. So how can we overcome it? How do we display humility even when it goes against what comes natural? We do so by examining the mind of Christ, by looking to the one who willingly gave up position and status, glory and honor, entering into our weakness and suffering on our behalf. And I think it's important to note that the description of the mind of Christ begins with an affirmation of his being in person. We read in verse 6 that Jesus was in the form of God. Form here means the true and exact nature of something. Jesus possessed all the characteristics and qualities of God. As the writer of Hebrews declares, Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. Notice that he's the radiance of the glory of God and not a mere reflector of it. He radiates God's glory because he possesses it in himself. But though that's the case, he humbled himself. He relinquished his rightful position and honor. And notice that Jesus' relinquishment of his position and honor is active. It's something that he took on himself. Jesus' loss of status is not anything that was forced on him. Instead, he emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant. The Danish philosopher and theologian Søren Kierkegaard writes, "Christ humbled himself, not he was humbled. There was none in heaven or on earth or in the abyss that could humble him. He humbled himself." The infinite qualitative difference between Christ and every other man lies indeed in this, that in every humiliation which he suffers, it is absolutely necessary that he himself should assent and confirm that he is willing to submit himself to that humiliation. No one could humble Jesus. No one could force Jesus to do anything that he wasn't willing to do, which makes what he was willing to do so much more powerful. And this is the mindset that we are called to have. So I want to ask, how willing are you to humble yourself, to lay aside your pride, to give up what you think you're entitled to for the sake of others? In the moments that follow, consider the self-giving love of Jesus and pray that God would enable you to take on the mind of Christ. Let's close now with this prayer from the Book of Common Prayer. O merciful Lord, grant to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.